Welcome to Bethel Brandon's Sunday Message. Please head over to our website, bethelbrandon.ca, to figure out how we can best serve you.
I wanted to put together a two-sermon process as to something that has kind of, I believe, always happens to me. You ever notice that there's patterns to the year? You know, certain things that you seem to emphasize during the year, certain things that are going on. And I find that to be particularly true at the beginning of the year. And so I wanted to kind of talk about something, and I didn't want to be too long because I do know that there's a meeting afterwards. And but I wanted to somehow encourage you in an area which I believe that all of us resonates within our hearts. You know, most of us, we are here because of the work of Christ. We just celebrated Christmas. You know, Christmas indicates the fact that God came down in human form and lived among us. And the purpose for that was that he wanted to pay the price for our sins, our shortcomings. You know, the actual word for sin is to miss the mark. We have all missed the mark. And so we are in need of a Savior. And his sacrifice allows us, atones for that sin if we accept him as Lord and Savior of our life. But it's not just that. You know, not only is it an idea of the fact that God forgives us of our sin, and if that's all it was, that would be absolutely wonderful. But it goes on to the fact that you go from being separated from God, an enemy from God, to being a son or a daughter of God. And if you're here and you don't know Jesus, that is the crux of Christianity, that God wants to know you and died so that you might be able to have relationship with him. And as a result, we want to follow him. We are called followers of Jesus. And that's a great thing, because once I realize that he saved me and that he created me, I want to serve him. And by serving him, I don't just mean to obey the commandments. Okay, do this, don't do that, live this way, don't say that, don't think this. It goes a lot further than that, doesn't it? It has to do with passionately following him and to be directed by him. To be directed by God because we realize that he loves me, and not only that he loves me, that he created me for a purpose. And this hits virtually every area of our life, does it not? Like, are we not continually seeking God for direction? I'm seeking God for direction in my life as a spouse, to be the best husband that I possibly can. Now, don't talk to my wife about that, because there's still some improvements that need to be made. Not only that, I want to be a good father. And there's challenges that have happened within my kids' lives where I've sat down and said, God, help me to say the right thing at the right time. Because sometimes you can say the wrong thing at the right time and the right thing at the wrong time, and you need wisdom to figure that whole thing out, do you not? And I have found that, you know, the responsibility for wisdom for my kids ended as soon as they left the house. No problem. They're gone. God, you have them now. But I've realized that I need wisdom even now, as they make directions and as they make some of the mistakes that I saw myself making and that whole process. You all know that this is kind of a delicate dance when it comes to stuff like that. Or maybe you're a young adult and you're trying to choose the major in school, or you're trying to choose the career or the business where you feel God wants you to be and you're not too sure. Or maybe you're single and you're trying to choose a spouse. You're trying to find the right person and you're looking for wisdom. Or maybe the decision for you is to stay single, and that's okay. God, how do I honor you in my singleness? What is the job that you have for me to do? How do I serve you? How do I interact with my neighbors? How do I honor God through my business? How do I honor God in the workplace? What are the challenges where I need God's direction? What are the crises that are going on in my life where I need his direction? This has happened to me. I made a mistake. How do I have wisdom to get myself out of the mistake? It is virtually in every area of your life. I don't know everyone. I don't know what you are going through, but I could think that you are probably seeking the direction of God for at least something in that area. And if I didn't mention it, chances is there is an area that I haven't even mentioned. And we are in the second week of January, the precipice of a new year with new challenges and new horizons and new giants. And so what I wanted to do today is to talk about going God's way, the direction of the Holy Spirit. I know that some people, they kind of journal, and over the last number of years, I've had taken time after devotions and that, or maybe at night before I go to bed and jot down my thoughts, and every person kind of journals differently. But there was one time I looked back over the couple years that I had been journaling, and I realized that there were things that I commonly was asking and seeking God for. There's like 22 of them, and I kind of have categorized them now. It's kind of an interesting process. Maybe I'll get to you later about it. But of those things, near the top of the list is wisdom and clarity. God, what do I do? Make my path straight. Help me to see what you want me to do. You see, conventional wisdom is a great thing. But conventional wisdom is the things that we have gained through life experience, through intelligence, through the perception of life as we live it. But I'm saying this, and the scripture says this, that there's also a wisdom that is accessible as we passionately follow Jesus and we can draw from God who created the earth and us and the universe. And this wisdom is what God wants us to strive for. There is wisdom that we have that we gain. But there's also a wisdom that we can have that is given. And that's what I want to talk about. And there's a powerful passage of the scripture in the Old Testament. I think it might be the most popular verse of scripture in the Old Testament. It's found in wisdom literature, particularly the book of Proverbs, where Solomon had written a number of these things. And you know what? If you ever look at the book of Proverbs, you'll read in the first third of the book, it talks about this thing called wisdom. Oh, pursue wisdom. You know, wisdom cries out. Wisdom calls out to those who need it. Come and get it. You know, it's kind of like the town crier crying through the city, you need wisdom. And it's kind of interesting how it is kind of approached. And it was written thousands of years ago. And I'll say, you know, when we take a look at it, we are still dealing with the same issues. It has not changed over thousands of years. We are continually looking for wisdom. And the funny thing about the scripture is this, that it's wisdom crying out to us, not us crying out to wisdom. Isn't that interesting? Because I believe that God wants to give us wisdom. As a matter of fact, the scriptures talk about it. If any man lacks wisdom, it says in James, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, but let him ask in faith, not wavering. Remember that passage of scripture? Just as the book of James starts, it talks about that. The scripture also talks about the fact that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. So wisdom is a faith thing, but it is also a fear thing as we draw close to him. Also talks in Proverbs chapter 2, verse 4 says, you know, if you get wisdom, it is better than getting gold. It is better than getting these rubies. Pursue wisdom with everything you got, because if you got it, you've got the most valuable thing. So not only is it a faith thing, not only is it a fear thing, but it is a fight thing. It's the thing that we go after. It is an important part of our life. And on the precipice again of a new year, we desire to navigate in the midst of all the challenges and all the changes and all the stuff that is going up against us and things that we are dealing with. The thought is this: God, give me wisdom. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. How many have heard that one before? Anyone? How many have memorized that scripture? I know I have. Over half the people in the congregation, this has been something that you have gone to. If you've been a Christian for any length of time, this has been something that you have kind of been led to, this particular passage of Scripture. And it's basically a simple one. Trust God. And when you trust God, that means that you have to sometimes not trust yourself. The true wisdom lies outside of yourself, no matter how smart you think that you are. The true wisdom comes as a byproduct of our understanding and acknowledging Him and worshiping Him. And the term that is used in Scripture here is this thing called acknowledge. Acknowledge Him. The Hebrew word for acknowledge is yada. You know, yada, yada, yada. You ever heard that? Jewish term. Lots of knowledge going on. But as you take a deeper look, some of the commentators, as I've studied it, they says it not only deals with a superficial knowledge or having a brief knowledge, it's talked about a retainable knowledge, something that you remember, something that you keep with you. You know, and in today's vernacular, the word acknowledge is to basically admit to a truth to something. I acknowledge this. This is true. If you're on a ladder and you fall off, you are going to admit the fact that gravity is very painful at times. Not? You acknowledge that truth. But there's also something else about acknowledgement. Acknowledgement recognizes or attributes importance to something or someone which is important. If you win a great award, you get up and you say thank you to everyone for receiving the reward, and there is one or two people particularly, three or four people particularly. I would like to acknowledge these people. You know, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for them. And so acknowledge takes on those things, a declaration of truth, as well as the fact that you realize the importance of the individual or the thing. And we say we don't need acknowledgement, but thing is, many times we do. We don't say we want acknowledgement until we are not giving it sometimes. Is that not true? There's football happening in the playoffs in football happening today. A number of teams will be playing. There might be someone who catches a football and runs into the end zone and does whatever dance he's supposed to do when he gets the touchdown, and he spikes it on the ground and he says, "Thanks, Mom." Now, do you think it was Mom that taught him how to catch the ball? It's probably Dad that was there playing catch. It was probably Dad teaching him how to run. It's probably Dad showing him how the differences between a blitz and this type of a defense and that type of a defense. But yet when he scores a touchdown, he says, "Hi, Mom." And sometimes we don't think we need acknowledgement until we don't get it, or someone else gets it instead of us, right? For this reason, I believe that acknowledgement is one of the key passages, one of the key words in this passage of Scripture. And if you can understand acknowledgement, what exactly that means, you will be able to more truly trust in God, so that God can direct your path. Because you are not going to trust something that you don't acknowledge. Is that not true? Here's the other thing. This is one verse in a passage of Scripture. Actually, there's about five or six things that are talked about in this passage of Scripture, and I'll talk about that next week. I'll talk about the small print of wisdom next week. But I think that there's something that we really need to understand. That when we talk about acknowledgement, what does it mean? And I believe that there are three pillars to acknowledgement, which helps us to understand God. And if I could kind of give them to you really quick, I'm hoping that you can take it. I'm hoping that this will be the process of you gaining wisdom and calling on God for wisdom in your life. First pillar is this. It is the personality of God. First thing you need to understand about acknowledgement is understanding the personality of God or the personhood of God, and to acquaint ourselves for who God really is. Do you really know who God is? I know that many times we say we know who God is, but many times we never recognize His character, especially when things get tough. You know, not only did he create the world, but he created the universe. He is the creator of all things. He is what the scriptures call El Shaddai, Almighty. Not only that, is the fact that the scriptures say that he is eternal. There isn't a time where God wasn't. He always has been there. And he is unchanging. The term for that is called immutable. He is the immutable God. He will never change. He will always be the same. He is all-knowing. He is totally and completely holy. Not only that, we say that God loves us, but the fact is that God is love. And these are just a few things about God that we know. It will not only take a lifetime to understand God, it will take an eternity to know God and who he is. And the first part of acknowledgement is growing in the awareness and contemplating of who God is. Because when you see God for who he is, you can't help but trust him. And if your knowledge of God is small, if your knowledge of God is skewed, if your knowledge of God is incorrect, if your knowledge of God is superficial, so will your ability be to trust God in the most difficult times of your life. Amen? We trust God through the small things. The key is trusting God through the big things. That's the first pillar. First pillar is understanding the personality of God. The second pillar is this, to understand the perspective of God. Now, the personality of God tells us who God is. The perspective of God tells us what God sees. God has a different vantage point than we do. And this is why we need to acknowledge him. Realizing that God is eternal. One thing anyways, he is the eternal God. So he just doesn't think in reference to the day or the week or the month or even the lifetime. God thinks and sees things in terms of the yesterday, the today, and the forever. And that would certainly change the way God deals with you at this particular point. Can you trust him? The eternal God who knows all things about your eternity. Not only that, he's all-knowing. And when we consider the fact that God knows everything, there might be something to the fact that there might be a few things that we don't know about the situation. He's all-knowing. He's omniscient. When you combine these with the fact that God is always in control, and not just in control of your life, he's in control of everyone's life. And so if that is the case, we need to realize that as we live our life, we need to focus on the God who can see everything and is able to point us in the right direction. Amen? It's true. There is the personality of God. There is the perspective of God. And there's one many times. I don't know sometimes if we believe it to be true, but it's true. The last pillar is this, the pursuit of God. Not only do we want to know who he is and understand who he is and the fact that God has a vantage point that we do, but we need to understand as well in this acknowledgement that God desires to do something in our lives. You know what is the acknowledge that God created us, and if God created us, chances are that there is a purpose for us. That God wants to do something through you. You're not like a watch. You know, the watchmaker makes the watch and has nothing to do with that watch after he creates it. That's not us. God created you for a purpose, and that purpose lasts for eternity. And with that in mind, it is certainly interesting to try and figure out, as we trust in him, to realize that, hey, God's just a really good guy. He's done all these things. And not only that, he has a great perspective. It is also the fact that he wants to do something through you. And you need to understand this, because there are times when you are going to ask yourself, God, what are you doing? If you have a purpose, can you please tell me right now? Because the situation I'm going through right now is not very comfortable. And I somehow have to trust you, realizing that you have the best interest because you made me, you created me, and you love me. And that's why we get the scriptures that we do. You know, Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. I know the plans I have for you, to prosper you and to give you a future. Remember that passage of scripture? Well, that scripture is given just as they are about to go into 70 years of captivity. How could he possibly make a statement like that when he knows that they're going to be in captivity for 70 years? Because God sees things in a different way, and that he's wanting to work, and he's doing something in the pain, and he's doing something in the progress, and he's doing something in the everyday normal stuff that takes place in your life. And if you can serve him, and if you can trust him in the everyday normal stuff that goes on, you will see the hand of God moving in your life. How about this one? Romans 8:28. For we know that God works to good for all those who love God and are called according to, you know, that whole passage of scripture. You know, that kind of, I wish that they wouldn't put that works to good, right? Because that indicates that there's some bad stuff that happens before the good stuff happens. Is that not true? You ever caught that? That's kind of an interesting passage of scripture. How about that passage in Isaiah chapter 45, verse 9, where Isaiah is saying this through the Holy Spirit. The clay doesn't say to the potter, why are you doing this? Listen, I don't want to be an ashtray. I want to be a vase. I don't want all this stuff. Could you please add a little bit to the sign? Make it look a little bit better. So we don't get that privilege because he is God. He is the one that created this. Many times we think we have a say in the matter, but we don't. But if you can trust in the fact that the Creator has a purpose for you, it allows you to acknowledge, it allows you to worship, and allows the presence of God to move in your life in unpleasant times as well as pleasant times. Philippians 3:14, I press on for the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Then one of the most difficult thing of acknowledgement and understanding the pursuit of God is that his desire for you does not end at your funeral. Once they bury you in the ground and they walk away and they have potato salad and they say, wow, that what's his name? He's a great guy. Whatever the case is, it proceeds further forth from that. That God is wanting to do something in the realm of eternity. That you don't just get a harp when you die, pluck it in the clouds. It's a lot more to it than that. That God has something powerful for you, and the things that you do now can reverberate through eternity. Amen? That God has something for you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding, but acknowledge him. Understand who he is. Understand his perspective. Realize that he's on your side. Understand he wants to do great things. I will trust in a God who I can acknowledge like that. You see, it's a faith thing, as it says in James. It is a fear thing, as it says in a number of Old Testament scriptures. It is a fight thing, as it says in Proverbs. And the other thing about this one is that it's a fathom thing. It is coming to the realization that the God you serve is awesome. Amen? 1 John 5:14 puts it this way, and this is the confidence we have in him, that we can trust him in everything, that he will hear us when we ask anything according to his will. A wonderful God we serve. So here is the thing that I would like to do today. Could we all stand at this time? Because we're having a meeting afterwards, and I might invite anyone who kind of is interested in life and Bethel that wants to stay, you can stay afterwards. Can I pray a prayer of wisdom for you? I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what life has thrown at you. I don't know the challenges that you are up against, but I do know one thing for sure, that there is probably something where you're saying, I need wisdom. I'm a new mom. I need wisdom. I just got let go from my job. I need wisdom. My life is a mess. I've made a whole bunch of terrible decisions. I need wisdom. God, I just pray in Jesus' name for every life that is here. That verse that we quote all the time, that popular passage of scriptures, will become alive in us today. Won't just be something that we kind of root as a routine. We kind of ramble off the verse. But Lord, we will come to the grips today that to acknowledge you is a wonderful thing that leads us to fully trust in you, even though we don't know what's going on, even though we don't understand what's taking place in our lives. We desire to trust you. And so, Lord, I pray the prayer of wisdom upon every mother who is here, every father who is here, every student who is here, every person who is here and is single, every person who may not even know Jesus and is searching for something real, I pray, Father, that you will grant wisdom. I pray for the presence of the Holy Spirit to sink deep down into our soul, and as the Word of God has been preached, that it will bear fruit, that it will dig deep into our soul, so that as we go into the workplace and as we go into our homes and as we deal with the issues that we deal with, we will have a wisdom which is not gained by ourselves. We will have a wisdom that comes from the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. If you enjoyed it, please head over to bethelbrandon.ca to listen to our older messages or maybe connect with us and figure out how we can best serve you. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.